Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Beyond the Cover here with my good friend Jeff Ayers. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. How's it going?
Doing good. Welcome back. We took a little time off. You took a little vacation. I took a little vacation. Then we're all back ready to go. It's great because tonight we are back again with our good friend, best-selling author Steve Hamilton, following up and talking about the next book in the series. Right after The Second Life of Nick Mason, this is Exit Strategy, comes out May 16th. Very excited to kind of get into that. So anything else, Jeff? Everything else good with you? You survived your
trip. Everything else
least.
Is
That's
great,
good.
Yeah. And this book is terrific, so look forward to talking to Steve about it.
Yeah, and you survived your trip, so we're glad that that happened. And
yes, barely,
course,
but we
I
did.
I want to remind everybody that everything that's brought to you here on Suspense Radio is by Kensington Books, so make sure you visit kensingtonbooks.com. And the latest issue of the magazine just released on April 30th, so if you didn't get your copy, that's okay. All you have to do is email us, and I'll send you a copy. And make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes for the podcast, and you can get all this show and every show that we got here on the radio, including Inside Thrill Radio, which is the new radio show that we have, kind of replacing Crime and Science Radio, which is hosted by Jenny Milchman. So make sure you check that one out. So without any further ado, let's get right back into our – or let's not right back in. I guess it's kind of a continuation of our last call. That was, you know, our last time we talked with Steve. So, Steve, thank you so much for coming on. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. This is my favorite program in the entire world. So
I love
being here.
Okay, hold on.
Well, good night, everybody. That's all we need.
I don't say
Shit,
that to anybody else, I swear. This is the best.
Thank you.
Well, we want to thank you. Yes, we want to thank you so much because, you know, not only is it just great to be able to speak with you, but it's great to be able to read you. And it's great that you did the follow-up here to, of course, The Second Life of Nick Mason with your latest book, Exit Strategy, again, out May 16th. So if you're listening now, you got a couple weeks before it comes out, but you can pre-order it. You can go right to Steve's site, authorstevehamilton.com, around the front page. You click whatever link you want to buy your book in, and you can get it right now.
Yep.
So, Steve, let's just jump into it. What you got going on in Exit Strategy?
Well, last year, like you said, was Second Life of Nick Mason, and that was really, you know, that was the first book in the series where you sort of meet this guy and you see this the circumstances that he's in, getting out of federal prison. You know, he thought he was going to be doing the rest of his life in prison, and he gets this chance to walk out. And not just walk out, but walk into a whole new life that he never could have imagined, with the townhouse and the beautiful car and the roommate and $10,000 cash on the first of every month. But there was a price for all of this, of course, and the price...
Yeah.
Of that was that whenever the phone rings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he had to answer the phone and do whatever he was told, no matter what it was, no matter what. And that was a deal that he made. But he made that deal because he wanted to get out and he wanted to see his family again. That was so that's the first book. And all the things that happened, all the things that he had to do in this second life of his. So now you go to the second book, and these missions that he's sent out are just getting more and more brutal and more dangerous. And it's sort of harder to sort of stay to this personal code that he's trying to keep for himself, which is not to kill anyone else other than the target that he's been assigned. And that's getting harder and harder to do. So before he just completely loses his humanity and becomes something he doesn't even recognize anymore, he has to find a way out. And that's where the title comes from, The Exit Strategy.
Well, I'm curious because you have this amazing gift of writing characters that if I met them in person, I wouldn't necessarily like them, but I love them as I'm reading them. So how do you make an anti-hero someone the reader cares about so much?
Well, that was, yeah, I mean, that was one of the challenges with Nick Mason, and it's why I wouldn't have tried to do that, you know, when I was just starting out as a crime writer, honestly. I mean, Alex McKnight was somebody you could root for from page one. And eventually I wrote a book called The Lock Artist about a young man who sort of gets pulled into a life of crime, and that was really my first time writing about somebody on the other side of the law. But even then, you could sort of understand, you know, how he got pulled into this and why he's doing this. For Nick Mason, I sort of, it was much more challenging because he's a career criminal from the first day that you meet him. But he takes this deal for a reason that I hope anybody could relate to, which is that he just wants to see his ex-wife again. He wants to see his daughter again. That's something that I hope is pretty universal. I hope that anybody reading that could sort of see themselves in that role and realize that they'd do the same thing. They would do whatever they had to do just to make up for that mistake that they had made of, you know, going to prison and leaving them forever.
You mentioned the code also, which is another.
He had these rules for himself to keep himself out of prison and to stay alive, but also just to sort of keep everything in order and not, you know, he was not a killer when he went to prison. He was not the kind of guy who would break into your house. He was the kind of guy who would steal cars and steal, you know, take down industrial robberies and take down drug dealers of all the cash that they had. That's the kind of guy that he was, because that was his own code for how he was going to do this. So, you know, I was sort of asking more of the reader this time that you could root for this guy, but so far the response has just been pretty overwhelming, because I think most people really do.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So, when you know, you have your Alex McKnight series, and you're 11 books into that, and you started it back with A Cold Day in Paradise. But now you're kind of, you know, and we kind of talked off air, and we'll get into Alex here in a second. But, you know, you've now had your second book with Nick Mason, and then, you know, you're working on the third one here. So when you're writing a series and you decide to kind of put it down and you got the first book out, how much more difficult is it to kind of get the second one and then you're going into the third? Are there certain things as an author that you're like, okay, you know, I got to make sure that I hit, or there's certain things that you want to change from the first to the second when you kind of look back and you say, you know, I only want to do a different direction? When people pick up Exit Strategy, what are they going to notice different from the second life of Nick Mason now into Exit Strategy?
I think they would notice, I think, just that everything is a little bit deeper and that the stakes are higher, and that Alex has sort of progressed has progressed to the point where he just can't keep doing it. You know, I think the first book you sort of feel him sort of just feeling his way through this new life, and now he's been through so much, and I hope you can really feel that. You can sort of feel that just overwhelming feeling that he just can't keep doing this. You know, I hope that it really weighs heavy on him in this book. So I think the difference is that the stakes are that much higher, especially with his boss sort of trying to engineer his own exit strategy. You know, everybody in this book has their own exit strategy. That's sort of the theme of this book. And it's Darius Cole's trying to get out of prison. And what's that going to mean for Nick when Darius is out? And Diana's trying to, you know, she's in sort of the same cage he is, and she's trying to get out. And even Sandoval, the cop who's been trying to put him away, you know, he's sort of a little bit of a commentary on what it's like to be a cop in Chicago these days, where he sort of feels like he's the enemy all of a sudden. I mean, he is sort of feeling like he can't keep doing what he's doing anymore. So I think really the overall theme of this book is just every character has their own personal prison that they're in, and they each have their own kind of exit strategy to get out of it. But as far as the whole series goes, though, because you ask a really good question, because when I was writing the Alex McKnight books, I really didn't have any idea from one book to the next where it would go, which is okay, and it's part of what made that series, you know, sort of what it was. But this time I really wanted to know, and I – And before I even wrote that first book, I really sort of had like 7 books kind of all laid out. You know, it's the first time I've ever done that. So I'm writing number 3 right now, and I already have a pretty good idea for 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Damn.
Wow. So
there you go,
one
everybody.
Of the things I was...
4, 5, 6, and 7. You got
That's
5
right.
more books coming at least.
You can't
stop. I'm excited.
Holy shit
this
right
is
here
great.
You just heard.
I'm unstoppable.
Yep. Unstoppable.
So,
there's the next title.
Hey,
Nick Mason.
Unstoppable. I don't have a title for the third book yet. Okay. I'll write that down. You never know.
There you go. Nick Mason,
so,
Unstoppable.
That's right.
I like it.
Hmm? Or
so,
how about this? Nick Mason. I got one. Nick Mason. Could he have stopped the Civil War? Huh?
Oh, no.
We're not
go
going
there.
There. Anyway.
Don't go there.
So,
oh my God.
Question for you here.
Yes.
Without spoilers, and you kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
sort of alluded to this, I was wondering, when you sat down to write this book,
yes.
did you already have that ending in mind?
I really did, because at the end of this book, I knew there would be a lot of big surprises in this book, and everything you know about Nick and about all the other characters in this book would all sort of get turned upside down. And again, without giving anything away,
right?
There's a lot of change in this book by the end, but this doesn't necessarily mean that there's the freedom that Nick wants. And the one thing that I always love about any kind of book, it doesn't matter if it's crime fiction or anything, is that moment when a character sort of realizes that there's a whole world out there beyond anything he could ever have imagined, and that he's now going to go out into it. You know, I mean, these first two books have been set in Chicago, which is great, and there's a reason for that, and that's where he grew up, and that's where he belongs. But by the end of this book, if you think about the situation he's in with having to answer to somebody who just tells him whatever he has to do next, there's no reason why that can't take place anywhere in the world, and that's exactly what's going to happen going forward in this series.
You know, the one thing that of course, you as an author see, and of course as a reader and a reviewer and publisher that we see, and of course Jeff as a reviewer, the one thing
yep.
that we have now is there's an abundance of books that are available. I mean, you can go to Amazon and there's 1 billion
sure.
whatever Kindle books
sure.
and everything else. So now that before, you know, Kindles and everything hit, so when you first came out in 98, publishers were able to kind of steer how the market was going to be on the supply. But now that that's gone, so you have much more competition than you ever did. Do you ever think about that when you're kind of writing your book? Do you ever, you know, say, you know, I can't write towards the trend, or do you think about those things when you're putting your book together, just to try to, I guess you want to maybe say you're a band and you're trying to write a hit just to kind of get noticed.
Right.
Do those things come into your mind at all, or do you just let the story go as the story goes and that's just the way it's going to be, regardless of anything else?
That's a big question, but I mean, I can't speak for anybody else. But
no, just you.
I'm really not thinking about anything else than this story that I'm sort of telling to myself, and I'm aware that there are certainly going to be readers of it. But I'm just trying to make this a good book. I mean, it's really that simple, and I'm not worried about what any other author is doing, or if there's a trend or not a trend, or. I'm just trying to write the
because
next
I'm sure,
really.
Yeah, because you read and you see books, and
yeah,
I'm sure you're probably like,
yeah,
oh, God, you know, I've already seen this before. Like myself, I can't stand, and I'm telling people right now, I can't stand another terrorist book. I am so flippin' tired
right.
of freaking military thrillers that I'm going to puke.
Right, right. I understand.
I'm tired
and,
of
them. And I kind of feel the same way, although
yeah.
if somebody did it in a totally new, fresh, unique way, you would forget every other book that you ever wrote that was ever written like that. You know, if they do it good enough.
Yeah,
I think it doesn't matter. I think you would totally forget. Like how many Private Eye books have there been, and how many police procedurals have there been? It's like Don Winslow, just to put a plug in. He's got this book called The Force. It comes out next month. And it's just so amazing that you forget every other police procedural book, and you've read a million of them. You know, going back to the 87th Precinct and all these books, and some of them are great. And it's just for that time that you're reading this book, if it's good enough, you forget any other book like that that you've ever read. There's another book called Unsub that I just read by Meg Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a serial killer book. You've read a million of those, going back to Silence of the Lambs and a million since, you know, when that was the whole hot thing. For the time that you're reading it, if it's good enough, you forget that you ever read a serial killer book. That's how good it is, and that's what great writing is. You know, it just makes you, it just takes you back to just that thing about just reading the story like it's the first time you ever saw it. And that's just the fact that you could still do that in a subgenre that is so, that's so well saturated. It just means that these, you know, there's some really great writers working today, and I'm just so fortunate and blessed to be working in this field today, because the crime fiction has just so many great writers right now.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you'd agree, because you read
there
the
are.
Best book too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean there
well,
are.
Well, and you're
but
one
just,
of them.
You just
honestly,
gotta, you just gotta find
well,
them.
Well, thank you, but don't you agree that if the book is good enough, you honestly feel like it's the only book ever written. That's,
yeah.
You know, or at least while you're reading it, you really forget.
I do.
Sure.
I do. I think the problem is getting me to pick it up when I see
understood.
What it's about.
I understand.
I think
yeah,
that's my thing.
You have to get over.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's why.
Yeah.
That's
I'm just curious. I'm just curious to see, you know, and I've never really asked an author that question, just
yeah.
to kind of see, you know, how you're reacting to what you're seeing is selling. And you're like,
right.
Oh, maybe I should kind of. You know,
nah.
You know, because right now everything is a girl on something. I'm waiting to see the girl on heroin. That's
the
next book
the
I want to see.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah
the girl
no,
on the
would,
freaking
would,
bridge, the girl in the tower, the girl on
I
heroin.
Would,
I mean, want to see.
It's the
right,
unreliable
so,
narrator I can't stand.
So
yeah,
you're
I'm
saying
not,
that,
telling
the,
you.
That the title of the next Nick Mason book shouldn't be the girl on the something. Okay, all right.
Yeah, or it could be the girl on me.
Take it away from
me. I don't care. You can say that. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. The girl who saved
but, you know,
the Civil War. I don't care.
But, I mean, what you're saying about, and it's a good point about people have to sort of get over sometimes the fact, oh, I've read that before. That's why something like this program is such a great thing. Just one more reason why it's such a great thing. Because you're here to read these books, and you're here to tell somebody. You think you've read every police procedural that was ever published, and there's no new tricks, and there's nothing that can make it new and fresh. And then you read a book like The Force, and then you realize. And that's what you can do, is you can tell people. It's like, this book has to be read.
Well, thank you. And I hope that our listeners, when we say books are great like yours, that they're
okay.
actually going and picking them up, do that. My question to you is, one of the things that I love about your books is you really have a true gift about setting.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about setting.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like, and I came up with this idea that where you're from is such an important part of who you are, that when you're building a character for the first time, that's like one of the most important things, most important questions that you can answer about that character. And I was thinking back to when I was writing about Alex McKnight. And from the beginning, the first time I sort of heard his voice in a cabin in the middle of the woods up in Paradise, Michigan, which is a real place, by the way, just in the middle of absolute nowhere, it's like I sort of saw him there and heard him there, and I realized he's there for a reason, but that's not where he came from. So where did he come from? And it's just something about that character. He had to come from Detroit, just that kind of Midwest solid, you know, he was a catcher playing baseball. He wasn't a pitcher. He was a catcher. He just had to be a catcher. And he had to come from Detroit, not from Los Angeles, not from New York. It's just that's where he had to come from to be the person that he was. And for Nick Mason, as I was thinking about this character and all the things that he's done to find himself in prison, it just felt like he had to come from the south side of Chicago. You know, Chicago in general, but specifically, he had to come from a really rough neighborhood in a place like Chicago.
Right.
which has, yeah. which is a rough place and is going through all sorts of things. Some of them are really heartbreaking, but there are certain areas, you know, having been there at the time and a lot more since, Chicago really is a sort of a city of neighborhoods. You know, there are 71 neighborhoods, and each one has its own different feeling, and Canaryville is where this guy came from. I just knew that. And so that was part of the research was to actually go there and spend time there and hang out there and go to the bar and talk to people and talk to the cops. You know, and for the second book, you know, I got to talk to a assistant U.S. attorney who does this amazing job that I really didn't know much about until I got to talk to him. This series really has been a chance for me to find out so much about Chicago and what makes it unlike any other city in the country. And it just made me realize that my first instinct was right. He had to come from this place. And it's the one city that, you know, by the way, in that first book, he goes back to his second life, to his hometown, but it's not his hometown because he goes to the north side. He goes to Lincoln Park, to this townhouse overlooking the lake, and it's still Chicago, but it's a whole different world. I mean, Alex McKnight had to drive to the UP to get to a different world, you know, but Nick Mason just had to go from the south side to the north side. And that's what makes Chicago kind of unlike any other city, is that you really, unlike any, you know, more than in any other city, you've got these different worlds going on in the same place.
That's cool.
Yeah, and you could probably never write, I mean, you could write 20 books and never write about the same place twice when you're talking
about
the city like
Chicago. Absolutely. I mean, Sarah Paresky, who I love as a person and as a writer, she's, you know, written a lot of books in Chicago, and
she's great.
From there.
Great.
Knows the place. She wrote this introduction, by the way, to a book of short stories. It just gets Chicago in just a few pages. It's just the most beautiful thing. I really recommend it. Just sort of what makes it different and how there's all these different places. Each neighborhood, you go from one to the other, and it's just a different place, a whole different world, you know. And it's
and they're making, of course, Eric Larson's Devil in the White City now into a movie. So
oh, yeah,
you're going to see that part of it, from the World's Fair,
going back
to
H.H. Holmes. Yeah, sure.
So it's going to be a little bit in time.
That's right.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about Alex McKnight, and I'm sure fans email you all the time. I mean, they love Nick Mason, they love what you're doing, but they're probably like, God damn it, Steve, when's the next Alex book coming out?
That's
so
pretty much exactly
I'm
going to
ask
what
the question.
Right.
God damn it, Steve, when's
You've
the next Alex
exact
book
exact
coming
email.
Out?
I can find that exact email with those exact words. And
I'm
probably
sure you can more than once.
From the last week. The answer, you know, I wanted to do this something totally new, to really sort of challenge myself and make it, you know, every book should be harder than the last one if you're doing it right. All those writers, things that writers tell themselves about never getting to the point where you're just mailing in, you know, the book number X of the series. But as far as Alex, you know, even when I took a break to write the Lock Artist, I always knew that I would go back because I'd always want to see what he's up to next. And that's still true. And not only do I want to go back to Alex, I actually already have, and I've written the next book, and I've turned it in, and it's just a matter of when it's going to come out. But it's going to be sort of the biggest, scariest Alex McKnight book yet when it does come out.
Oh yeah, that's not a good freaking tease. Thanks.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Okay.
We got to wait. God, I hate waiting.
Well, I wish I knew exactly when it was going to come out, and I would tell you. But
that's all right. We're going to keep it up, and we'll make sure that we let people know when it's coming out. So.
And I hope I can come back in your program and talk about Alex McKnight again when it's time for him to come back.
Of course.
Tomorrow, if you want.
I'm going to figure out a way to hack into your computer. I'm just letting you know this in advance.
Okay, that's fine.
So, curious.
I hear
Russia
can do that pretty good.
Well, we're not going into that. I'm just saying so I can read the
answer. Oh, okay, sorry.
No. But I'm hearing rumors since John mentioned Devil in the White City is being made to a film that they're talking about Nick Mason being made to a movie.
Yeah,
can you talk about that?
not a rumor. It was front page news on Deadline.com, but it was Lionsgate. Lionsgate has the project. Nina Jacobson of The Hunger Games is one of the producers. Shane Salerno, who is doing one of the sequels to Avatar, a movie that you may have heard of. He's the other producer.
That one.
And actually, there's a big announcement about this movie coming in the next couple of weeks. Talk about
really?
Yes, there's a big announcement coming. It's definitely moving forward. Something's going to happen soon, and it's definitely happening. And from my perspective as the writer, I'll just be a total film geek and just be nothing but excited and thrilled. And it's just going to be so cool to see that happen, you know, and to actually go to a movie theater with my family and sit in the front row with popcorn. It's just going to be fun and cool, and I'm excited.
Got to be surreal.
And
that's
just me being the geek, but that's fine.
So you're
I'm
not
hoping
any,
they cast
like,
it
you're
well.
Not going to have any part of the movie. You're not going to have any part of
I don't
writing
believe
or anything.
So. I mean,
just,
maybe I don't think
okay.
it's in the contract
I didn't know if
anymore.
They had contacted you about that or anything. Yeah.
Not yet. there's always hope. You know, the night is young, so maybe they'll call me up and ask me if I want to do a walk-on somewhere, sort of like, I mean, when Lee Child did the, you know, there's been two Jack Reacher movies, and he's been in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just a quick, you know, he's the cop here, or he's the guy here, and so I wouldn't mind that.
That'd be
cool. I hope they do that for you.
Who knows?
Yeah, so why do you enjoy writing series more than, say, standalone books?
Well, I mean, I do like both, because really I think the Lock Artist was such a big book for me, and that was a standalone. But something about a
series. And it was terrific.
Well, thank you. But there's something about a series where it really feels like you're writing one big book, really. You're writing one big story. And it just takes place over. I mean, there were 12 McKnight books, and there's going to be at least 7 Mason books, like I said. So it just feels like each book is sort of a different chapter in a much bigger story that you couldn't tell in one book, really. It sort of has to take that time and has to breathe and has to have that space over the course of years for it to happen. But it's just a different type of storytelling. And
yep.
That's the kind of stuff that I love reading. I love reading about Matt Scudder or about Jack Reacher, what he's up to
mm-hmm.
next. And so if that's what I love to read, that's what I should love to write, too.
Well, I completely agree with that, so cool.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, it is always a pleasure. Thank you again so much for coming on. The book Exit Strategy is out May 16th, so whenever you're listening to the show, that's the date that you want to know. But you can pre-order the book now. Go to Amazon, find it. If you haven't read the first one, The Second Life of Nick Mason, buy that one. Then you can wait for the next one. Or just buy
mm-hmm.
all 12 Alex McKnight books and do
that's
what you got to
do.
Depending on how fast you read, I don't know. Steve's got
that's
something
fine.
For you. So, Steve, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you so much coming on. It has been an absolute pleasure.
It's always an absolute pleasure for me, and I'm going to be hitting the road, too, with this book, and I love going to bookstores.
And your website's the best place for anybody
website,
to find
out
about
there.
All of that information. AuthorSteveHamilton.com is the best place.
Exactly. And hit me up on Twitter at AuthorSteve, too, because I'm actually doing a lot more Twitter these days.
You are, because you actually retweeted the thing that I did about you
exactly.
coming on. I was like, wow, and then Don
did.
Winslow's getting in on it, and I'm like, look at that
that's
shit
right.
going on. I love that.
I finally
like,
got
Twitter
the hang of Twitter,
good thing.
I think.
That's
yeah,
great.
Twitter can be. I'm afraid of Twitter sometimes because
mm-hmm.
I've seen what somebody can do with 140 characters, and it scares the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be a good thing too. So
yeah, why not?
Yeah. So great. All right, Steve, you have a good one, my friend, and you know you're busy, so you got to keep writing because you got 4 more Nick Mason books you got to finish up, and then you got more Alex McKnight books. So get to it, man.
You got it, man.
Thanks so much.
All right,
for coming
you
have
on. Thanks a lot. No, thank you guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for doing this. It's just one.
Oh,
it's just it's something that makes it really worth being part of this whole community of crime writers is getting to meet guys like you and just do something like this. It's just It's just an absolute pleasure.
There needs to be more of us. We need more people to promote books. That's the whole idea.
There you go.
So, yeah. All right, you have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
So, again, everybody, the website, again, authorstevehamilton.com. Very easy to remember. Everything and anything you want to know will be on there. And the book, again, Exit Strategy, the second book in the Nick Mason Now series, and it will be out May 16th. You can pre-order it now, so that's fabulous.
And please
so, Jeff,
do. It's terrific.
Yes, absolutely. So we got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, my daughter is going to be going to the hospital tomorrow to be induced for labor, so I'll have my first grandkid coming soon. So we have a lot of things that are happening. You got family stuff going on. So we're probably going to do a half hour. We're probably going to cut the show off tonight. But next week, since this is your big white whale, that you finally were able to get on, I want you to kind of tell everybody who's going to be on the show next week.
Well, he has been one of my favorite authors for a long time, and I've never had a chance to talk to him. And he is the master of writing action. He is, when you want a book that has action, you pick up one of his books. And he is amazing. And his new book is absolutely great. And his name is Matthew Riley. And so we've got him.
Ah, there it is. The big white whale that you've been trying to get for like 2 years. You've been talking about him and his scenes and everything that's going on. And we're finally able to get Matthew Riley on the show for you next week. So don't be geeking out on me.
I will totally geek out. Just like I was with Steve tonight, because I love his stuff too.
Yeah, but this is a whole brand new author. This is one we've never talked to. It's going to be really good. So we're going to and that'll be fun. So that will be next Tuesday, everybody, 7:30. We'll be on an hour. We'll pick some other stuff. We'll get some reviews out and some other things that are going on. But, yeah, like always, just subscribe to us on iTunes. If you have any questions, email us, radio@suspensemagazine.com. Or if you just want to yell at us, we don't care. I mean, you can say whatever you want. We're really nice. And
we
answer everything.
Well, we care,
We do. I mean, you know, and we always say, if you ever have a question that we didn't bring up, because, you know, we only have like a half hour, if you ever have a question that you want to ask the author and this and that, we can normally get to them pretty quick. I mean, we have ways of getting to authors pretty fast for information. We can do that for you. So if you have something that you want us to ask or anything else, you can always email. I mean, you know, this is an interactive thing. This is not just us doing whatever. I mean, if no one listened, we probably would still do it. But, you know, this is just what we do. So.
Right.
Are you ready? Let's do this.
All right. Well, have a great evening, everyone, and thank you again.
I will.
And thanks, Steve, again.
Yes. And you have a good night, and I will keep you up to date on what happens on my side of the world. And
please do.
You keep me up to date on what happens on your side of the world.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and have a great evening.
Even though we're in the same time zone, you know, we're still on the West Coast, but, yeah.
True, yeah.
All right, good. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and like we always used to say, or like we always like to say, keep reading. Good night, everybody. See you next week.